His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Kini, Ananda Kota Vaishnavinda Kini, His Stam Founder Acharya's Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Kini, Gaurav Nandi! All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gaurav Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parashtaya Bhutala Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Machane Nirvishesha Sunivari Saraswati Devi Swami Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Six. 1, 11, 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Striking, you know, when you hear these different things. We heard two things from Mother Mukhi, she was reading this morning. First, the letter that Prabhupada wrote to Yugala Kishore Prabhu. When you hear that, you realize that it's not up to us. We don't choose. I can join, I can stay, but it has to be sanctioned by Krishna. If it's not sanctioned by Krishna, what can we do? So we tend to think, you know, I'm doing, I'm deciding, I'm staying, I'm whatever. It's actually only by Krishna's grace that any of these things are happening. And then Krishna is the same. He may seem a harsh person if you think like that. It's up to him, cold, yes or no, we stay or go. But then you see how Mr. Bridgelaw, how Krishna just reached out to his devotees, to this man who was dying in such a circuitous way. Somebody from Jersey City being benedicted by somebody in Florida. Through a relative, Sankirtan movement so potent that even through a relative of the devotee, Krishna's mercy can be given. So we're fortunate. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text number 6. Nata smate nata sudangriya pankajam. Natasmate natas nangri pankajam.
Natasmate natas nangri pankajam.
Virincha vairancha surindra vanditam.
Virincha vairancha surindra vanditam.
Parayama parayama nam shema ichchantam param. Ayatra kala pravavet para puja prabhu.
Ayatra kala pravavet para prabhu.
Natasmate nata sanangri pankajam.
Natasmate nata sanangri
pankajam. Virancha vayancha surendra vanditam.
Virishya vayancha surendra vanditam.
Parayana Parayanam Shema Ischatam Param.
Parayanam Shema Ischatam Param.
Nayatra Kala Pavet Prabha Para Prabhu.
Nayatra Kala Pavet Para Prabhu.
Chant, please.
Para Prabhu.
Namaste.
word meaning is nata, bowed down, sma. We had done so. Te, unto you, nata, O Lord, sada, always, angri pankajam, the lotus feet, virincha, Brahma, the first living being, virincha, sons of Brahma, like Sanatha and Sananda, Sanatana, Sura Indriya, the king of heaven, Panditam, worshipped by Parayanam, the supreme, Shemam, welfare, Iha, in this life, Ichchatam, one who so desires, Param, the highest, Na, never, Yatra, wherein, Kala, inevitable time, Bhavavit, can exert its influence, Para, transcendental, Prabhu, the Supreme Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The citizens said, the citizens of where? Citizens of Dwarka said, O Lord, you are worshipped by all demigods like Brahma, the four sanas, and even the King of Heaven. You are the ultimate rest for those who are really aspiring to achieve the highest benefit of life. You are the supreme transcendental Lord, and inevitable time cannot exert its influence upon you. Purport. The Supreme Lord is Sri Krishna. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Samhita, and other authorized Vedic literatures, no one is equal to or greater than him. And that is the verdict of all scriptures. The influence of time and space is exerted upon the dependent living entities, who are all parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. The living entities are predominated Brahman, whereas the Supreme Lord is the predominating Absolute. As soon as we forget this clear fact, we are at once in illusion, and thus we are put into threefold miseries, as one is put into dense darkness. The clear consciousness of the cognizant living being is God consciousness, in which one bows down unto him in all circumstances. Om Gyanatam Anandasya Gananjana Sulakaya Chakshurumavitamini Tasma Shri Guru Namaha. So the point that I would like to speak about this morning, which I find significant in this verse and purport, is that there's a description of how Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is different from us, the dependent living entities. Does anybody recall from the purport what words Prabhupada used to distinguish between us and him? Yes, we are the predominated living entities, but Krishna is the predominating Supreme Lord. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bhavanam yogati dati kama. Upanishads contain this mantra which explain the difference. Now, along with that difference, there's another one that's mentioned here, and that is that we can know the Supreme Lord, who He is, by seeing and understanding that He's not influenced by time and space. Time and space are material aspects that are created by the Lord. But he's not controlled by these, but all the predominated living entities are controlled by these things, among other things. Time and space are not all that combines, condemns us to this material world, but they are very much part of our conditioning, time and space. But they're not part of the Lord's existence. He's not subject to time and space. So I'd like to give several examples, and maybe you can also contribute some examples about how we see this in Lord Krishna's pastimes. For instance, if we go to Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth chapter, there's a part of a purport that I wanted to read that explains how we can know the Supreme Lord is different from us. Krishna is talking to Arjuna, explaining to him this transcendental science, and he explains that, actually, millennium ago, I spoke this same science of self-realization to the sun god, Vivaswan, and Vivaswan passed it on to his descendants, his disciples in the disciplic chain. And so Arjuna was struck by this. He said, well, wait a minute. You just said that you instructed this science millions of years ago to the sun god. But we're standing here. I know you. You know me. We're friends. We're around the same age. How is it that you described this millions of years ago? And Krishna responds. He says, many, many births both you and I have taken. I can remember them, but you cannot. Also, doer of the enemy. So we're talking about time here, a time differential of millions of years. And Krishna's explaining to Arjuna, I'm not influenced by time. Try to understand. Somewhere we were hearing the other day that Krishna wants us to know him. Was that in a Bhagavatam class or something? What someplace else? Krishna wants us to know him. Wherever it was, it doesn't matter because the point is the same. Krishna wants us to know him. And what one of the first things that we should know about him is that he's not influenced by time. Time has no effect on him. Time has effect on everything in this world, but doesn't have influence on him. That means he's transcendental to this world. That fact we have to know about him. Let me read to you some of this purport from chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita, text number 4. Arjuna said, the sun, this is the verse. Arjuna said, the sun god Vivaswan is senior by birth to you. How am I to understand that in the beginning you instructed this science to him? Purport's very instructive. Let's find the starting place here. Okay. Arjuna put this question before him in order that Krishna would describe himself without being depicted by demons who always try to distort him in a way understandable to demons and their followers. Such a heavy statement that he's depicted by the demons because they don't understand this basic fact about him, that he's beyond time and space. And so they always try to make him appear in such a way that it comes into their understanding. Prabhupada says, the atheist who consider Krishna an ordinary man, may in this way come to know Krishna is superhuman. He is Satchitananda Vigraha, the eternal form of bliss and knowledge, that he is transcendental and that he is above the domination of the modes of nature and above the influence of time and space. So the demons don't understand he's free from time and space. But Krishna himself explains how he's free from time and space in these verses to Arjuna. Now, why does he explain this to Arjuna? And this is key to a lot of the examples we're going to be talking about in the class today. Why is he explaining this to Arjuna? No one knows? Surely you know. Yes? Yes, because he's not envious and he's what? He's his friend. It's not that Krishna's explaining this to him because he's a big, big scholar or something. Of course, he's a knower of Krishna, so he knows everything. But he's explaining to him because of a personal relationship, because he's a friend. Now, why is that so important? What makes Arjuna being a friend the key to Krishna explaining to him this transcendental nature of himself?
Friends tend to respect and listen to one
another. Yes, because they're what? Because they're what? Because they're friends, because they're people. Krishna's a person. That's why he's explaining to Arjuna. Because Arjuna is a person also, and he's his friend. So this is very important, and we'll see it in the other examples of how Krishna is free from time and space. I have several of them listed here, and I'm sure all of you can add to them, so we'll discuss them just to hear this knowledge. Not because we're scholars or something like that, we may be. But because we want to know Krishna, we want to know who he is, we want to know him. What's he like? Yes. So he makes himself so available that I should speak for myself. Basically, I discovered last week that I'm an impersonalist. And I'm an impersonalist because I can't tell you when I leave the temple, I can't remember how the Lord is dressed. It hasn't struck me deeply enough. Because I think that, it's okay. My eyes just glaze over when I take darshan. Rather than seeing in a loving way that would burn into one's memory the shape of Krishna's earrings today. Can anybody see what the shape of Krishna's earrings are without looking? You all had darshan. If we love Krishna as a person, then these things will become more and more important to us.
You can remember the quality of the earrings. Prabhupada said in Antavila Chaitanya Chaitanya, the Radharani's earring is made of Krishna Pata. That's why she loves the earring. Just talking about Krishna, she loves.
So good, we'll get some of that Krishna Kata. Maybe we'll remember his earrings. Okay, first example. King Nriga. King Nriga was a lizard. He got cursed. He became a lizard. And one day, when the young boys of the Kuru dynasty, or the Yadu dynasty, went on a picnic. Prabhupada explains in Krishna book. They went on a picnic. And they became thirsty after running around, and they went to this well to get some water. And what did they see in the well? A big lizard. And so they tried to get the lizard out because they're compassionate. They thought this lizard is stuck here, so let's try to get him out. But they couldn't get him out. So when they went back home, just like any excited child, when they get back home, they want to tell their father, their mother, what they saw, what they did. So they explained that, oh, we saw this big lizard in a well. We tried to get him out. We couldn't get him out. And when Krishna heard the boy saying like that, he thought, well, okay, let me go and get the lizard out. Help this poor creature. So he went there, and how did he get the lizard out? No, Krishna would have had a Krishna get it out. Shambhadas. Yeah. It says that simply by extending his left hand, he was able to get the lizard out. Now picture that in your mind. What did he do? The lizard was in a well, right? Did somehow or another his arm grow long or something like that? And he was able to reach down there and get the lizard out. Give me the mechanics. How did it work? How did it happen? It happened by Krishna just extending his hand. He's not influenced by time and space. And so it's not like he had to like grow a long arm or something like that and get the lizard out. He just extended his hand and got the lizard out. It didn't work according to the laws of physics, because the laws of physics are the laws of time and space, and Krishna's not subject to the laws of time and space. He got the lizard out because his sons asked him, and he loved his sons, and so he went there and he just extended his left hand and he picked up the lizard and got the lizard out. This is an example of how Krishna's not subject to time and space. And it's also an example of why Krishna does what he does. Why did he get the lizard out? By extending his left hand very easily. Actually, the Sanskrit, if you go to the Sanskrit in the 10th canto and read this, the word there is lilaya. The word is lilaya. For very easily. It describes lilaya and it's the definition. Very easily. He very easily got the lizard out just by extending his left hand. It's his lila. So his lila are loving exchanges with his devotees, and so because his sons asked him to lovingly reciprocate with them, he simply extended his left hand, and by his potency, not by the laws of physics, he got the lizard out. This is a Krishna's lila. He's showing us how he's not influenced by time and space. Now, maybe I'll give you a chance. What Krishna's lila do you want to present to us today, which shows that he's not controlled or influenced by time and space? Who can give an instance of Prabhupada's from Krishna's lila? Yes? This is not rehearsed now just because she's volunteering.
It's one of my favorite pastimes of Krishna giving cloth to Draupadi.
Okay, Krishna giving cloth to Draupadi. What's the love here?
It's the love that Krishna had for the Pandavas and Draupadi. You know, and out of love, he went out of the law of physics and he was provided the cloth, unlimited cloth.
He provided unlimited cloth. Very good. Do you think that cloth on the sari had the same pattern know that that was on the cloth before Dushyant started pulling. It was the same cloth, right? And yeah, same color. And he gave an unlimited amount to the point where this big, big warrior person became exhausted from trying to disrobe Draupadi, and he fell down on the floor. He could have gone on forever. It's not like, we're coming to the end of the extra piece of the sari. He could extend forever, yes.
The Sharad Purnima, the whole night was the Rasleela going on. It was entire night of Brahma.
That's a good example, and that's the last one I wanted to mention. She's mentioned the Sarat Purnima, the Krishna's Rasa dance. Krishna made the night a night of Brahma, and that way enjoyed with his devotees. Not according to the laws of physics. Yes? Oh, you have more?
And one more. Lord Brahma stealing cowherd boys. Krishna manifests as cowherd boys.
Okay. For the Sri Devi.
I was just thinking of examples of space, because those are all examples of time. Like how he is in various places simultaneously.
Oh, yes. That was Narada Muni's fascination. Narada Muni came and he visited the 16,108 palaces of Lord Krishna at Dwarka. And he was moving. He was testing. He wanted to test Krishna. Test Krishna for our understanding. So he was moving very quickly from one palace to another. So it's not like Krishna could have beat him there or something. But he saw very quickly going from one palace to another how Krishna was engaged in loving exchanges with his devotees in 16,000 palaces in 16,108 different ways.
Different times.
So some places, wasn't it? It was like
somewhere morning,
somewhere evening, some different seasons were there, all simultaneously. I mean, according to the law of physics, time and space, it can't happen. It's the same person. I have one that I like also, that I'll just say now. It's about Kaliya Yavana. You know, the Yavana king that came to fight Krishna at Dwarka. He had heard about Krishna from Narada Muni. And it's a nice description given there that he saw Krishna walking among the armies, just walking, out for a stroll in the battlefield. It's not like he was on his chariot or something like that. He was just walking. And the description is that he saw him among his soldiers just walking, among Kalyavana's soldiers just walking. And it was just like the full moon sometimes is covered by the clouds, and then when the clouds move aside, all of a sudden you see the full moon very shining very brightly. And so he saw Krishna like that. I mean, he came from behind, his vision being blocked by other soldiers, and he saw him like that. And he wanted to fight with Krishna. So Krishna was out for a stroll walking in the army, right? And let me just get this. I want to read it to you. Krishna, however, okay, it says here, he decided to fight with him hand to hand because Krishna was walking. He didn't take up any kind of weapon. So this is Kali Yavana, decided to fight Krishna hand to hand. Thus he prepared to capture Krishna and fight. Krishna, however, went ahead without looking at Kali Yavana, and Kali Yavana followed him with a desire to capture him. But in spite of his running, his swift running, he could not capture Krishna. Prabhupada says Krishna cannot be captured even by great yogis traveling at the speed of the mind. He can be captured only by those who follow the path of devotional service. And Kali Yavana was not practicing devotional service. He wanted to capture Krishna. Since he could not do so, he followed him from behind. So just picture this. This powerful warrior. I mean, these guys were in shape. It's not like they weren't in shape. And so they could run. They could fight. And you have this powerful warrior running as fast as he can behind Krishna. But he can't catch him. Kali Yavana was following, running very fast, but he still could not catch Krishna because he was not freed from all contaminations of sinful life. So it says that what the experience was like for Kali Yavana, he was running very fast, we know, and it was appearing virtually, that Krishna was appearing virtually within reach of his hands at every moment. In other words, he was running and he thought, now I got him. I'm close, I'm going to grab him now. But he was always just a little beyond the reach of his hands. He couldn't grasp him. He couldn't catch him. And it's described by Prabhupada here. Not because he wasn't fast enough, he wasn't strong enough, but because he wasn't freed from all contaminations of sinful life. So if we're sinful, we can't know Krishna, we can't capture Krishna, we can't see Krishna, certainly. Therefore, I was saying about the letter that Prabhupada wrote to Yuga Kishore Das Brahmachari, that it's a privilege. We're invited in. We're let in. Not that we can crash the gates. We're let in. Otherwise, we'll never get in. Kali Yavana is very strong. He couldn't catch up to Krishna, even though he's running very fast. So that's one. And anybody have another one? How Krishna is not influenced or controlled by time and space, and he displays it with loving pastimes with his devotees. Of course, we all know Damodara Leela, isn't it? Damodara Leela. Two fingers short all the time. No matter how much rope Mother Yashoda got, two fingers short all the time. She was very determined. She was determined out of love for her child to teach her child a lesson. Therefore, she was going to tie him to the grinding mortar. And she tried. She went after so many ropes in the house. Bring more rope, bring more rope, bring more rope. But it's always the same, two fingers too short. So how did it finally end? What is Satyavata Muni's bhajan say? How she tied him up? How did she finally bind her child? With love. With her love. That's how he finally got bound up. Transcendental love. Again, nothing in time and space could help her accomplish that. But her love for Krishna. When Krishna saw her exerting her loves to the point where she was sweating, she was laboring so hard, then he agreed, this love will bind me up. So Damodara Leela. There's another Leela with Mother Yashoda. And Krishna is a small boy.
Eating good?
Eating dirt, yes. Balaram accused him like this. Did Krishna do something to make Balaram upset so that Balaram told Mother Yashoda that he's eating dirt? Is that described?
Mother Yashoda, Balaram is lying because we defeated him in the fight.
Okay, yeah, right? Right. So they're playing and the boys are defeating, and so Balaram's side got defeated. And so therefore he was upset. And therefore, what did he do? He went to Mother Yashoda and said, Krishna's eating dirt. Naturally, out of love, Mother Yashoda was concerned. And so she demanded, Krishna, you're eating dirt? Show me. Show me your mouth, open your mouth. And then what happened in terms of time and space?
The whole universe.
The whole universe was in Krishna's mouth. How is it possible? Mother Yashoda was looking at Krishna's mouth, the whole universe was there.
Not one. Unlimited
universes are there. So then what happened? She started becoming bewildered. She started talking like a philosopher, isn't it? She started describing Krishna, his glories, how he's beyond time and space. And again, Krishna got concerned. His Mother Yashoda was confused by Krishna's appearance this way, and so therefore he shut down that vision of the universal form. Yes, he was leaving the affection. So this is how Krishna, by his lila, he displays himself as beyond time and space. Not necessarily a big philosophical understanding, scientific understanding, but he's out of love. He's interacting with his devotees and displaying these characteristics. Any other ones? Anybody has one more? Yes, Radha Krishna.
I think of when the Pandavas were in exile, and Draupadi was very anxious because Durvasa Muni and all his disciples wanted to come for prasadam, and she only had one grain of rice left in that pot, and she prayed to Krishna, and Krishna came and ate that one grain of rice, and Durvasa Muni and his disciples were all fully satisfied, and they never came to their house.
Someone describes that they started belching, you know, they were like so full, of, you know, it's like they couldn't eat anything, nothing more they could eat because they were completely full.
They were afraid.
They were afraid. Okay, so they're running away out of fear because they were afraid. So Krishna, he protects his devotees. Twice we heard the Pandavas and Draupadi, the vicious assembly, and now Durvasa Muni. Krishna saves his devotees in these ways that are beyond time and space, beyond material understanding. So this is how the residents of Dwarka are greeting. They're offering these prayers to. So Krishna on his arrival in Dwarka, describing him in this way, that he's predominating, not predominated, and that he's free from the influence of time and space. So anyone have anything? reflections, questions, anything to add?
I have one question. Thank you for the very nice, enlightening class. We've talked about all these ways in which Krishna protects his devotees, but at the same time, doesn't Krishna allow his devotees to go into that distress so he can protect them?
Well, the conditioned soul, Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, that yes, I created everything, and everything is dependent upon me. I'm the predominating, you're the predominator. But I'm not responsible for your choices. Don't try to put it on me. I explain everything to you. I send great devotees to explain everything to you. And you make your own choices. You get yourself in the entanglement that you're in. It's not that I put you into that entanglement. That's what Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. So, does Krishna let... He gives us the free will. We misuse it, and therefore we suffer. We can't blame Krishna for that. But in spite of us doing that, in spite of us suffering, what he does do... He comes time and time again in different ways. Just like Mr. Bridgewell. We don't know what Mr. Bridgewell did, but Krishna came and gave him some opportunity to perfect his life. It may not be done immediately, but Krishna comes. He doesn't just leave us alone. Ajamil. Krishna came and gave him a chance. We have the book, Second Chance. So Krishna came and gave him the chance. So that's what Krishna does. Krishna doesn't put us in suffering so he can liberate us. We get ourselves in a mess and Krishna comes, despite the fact that we turned away from him to get ourselves in a mess.
Thank you.
That's God. That's Krishna. Anything else? Adamati?
You were mentioning in the start of your class about the impersonal, that we're impersonal. And I was also feeling that. I was listening to Indradhuma Maharaj's videos that he does. And when he was speaking Krishna's pastimes with such a such a relish. And I was thinking, wow, you know, I hear these pastimes and sometimes they're just like, okay, I've heard it. And it doesn't seem much, doesn't do much. But, so I was praying to Krishna, and what I wanted to share was that I had some thought that actually if we, our own deities, our own Krishna, our own Ishtadev, so we hear pastimes about Krishna and we can think, oh, can you imagine Shama Sundar? I mean, he's Arishtadev here, and we think, oh, Krishna Balaram, our Krishna Balaram. Oh, can you imagine Sham running, our Sham Sundar running, and I mean, walking, and Kala Yavana trying to catch him, but he's just walking. And I was thinking is that actually if we are able to see our Krishna here and think about him and understand that these are his pastimes that we're talking about, then it makes it a little, gives a little sense of personalism. I wanted to share that.
Thank you. And it's important. That's what Ishtadev means, our community. We're all dedicated to Radha Shyam Sundar, Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Gauranga, Lakshmi Srinivas, Prahlad Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. We should feel it personally. Act it personally. Okay, going to Ashima Bhagavatam.